Well, what a journey. What a journey. Unbelievable thinking about what has happened in the past 5 years. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years as a church. And, you know, I wish I could just grab some of the memories that were triggered in your mind, some of your favorite memories of being a part of Miles City. In fact, maybe even right now you could just put it in the chat right now of some of the memories that you have enjoyed or pop out at you through the years of being a part of this community. And so, you know, many people have been asking me over the last month, like, is Miles City what you thought it would be? And no, it really isn't what I thought it would be. It's beyond what I thought it would be. And because God's ways and plans are always better than we could ever expect. And it truly has been the case here. And I just want to say, Jen and I just want to say thank you for allowing us the privilege to lead here at Miles City, and for trusting us, for being guinea pigs in a sense, especially early on, all the mistakes we made and the good decisions we made, and just trusting us, having confidence in us, being patient with us, praying for us. We feel that. And so thank you. I mean, leadership is a privilege. And it's temporary, and it has been quite a fun journey. And when I think about the future of our church, and I think about maybe another 5 years, Lord willing, if that is the case, I see that happening in our church being healthy if we maintain the vision that we've always had from the very beginning, and that is helping people move towards God. Helping people move towards God. And to accomplish that, we have decided early on to be a church that is a share, shape, send church. A share, shape, send church. And if we continue that, of the hard work of being a sending church, not just being known for our seating capacity, but being known for our sending capacity and sending people out all over the world to start new churches. And if we continue in having the discipline to be a shaping church, to challenge one another, to look more and more like Jesus, and the hard work that goes into that, and if we continue the idea of being a sharing church, of trying to reach people and tell people that don't know Jesus about the power of Jesus, then wow. We ain't seen nothing yet. And to think about if we continue that healthy, if we balance that tension of those three things of helping people move towards God as a share, shape, send church, man, who knows? Who knows what our church is going to look like in the next 5 years? So what a journey, what a journey. And not only have we been on a five-year journey as a church, but we've been also on a nine-week journey as we've been going through the book of Revelation. And man, I hope it's been encouraging to you. I hope it's been inspiring to you. I know it's been challenging and inspiring to me. I've learned so much as we've studied and gone through the book of Revelation. And it's just been unbelievable. And maybe you're just kind of catching in online today, or maybe you've caught a few. And don't worry, I'm going to catch you up here. But when I think about the book of Revelation, if there was literally one sound, if I could define the entire book by a sound of Revelation, this is the sound that I would identify it with. You hear that? What do you think that is? Listen to it again. That is the sound of the rumble strip. The rumble strip. If I could, the book of Revelation is literally just a long rumble strip. Why? Because a rumble strip is used to help protect us and keep us from danger, to keep us from destruction. A rumble strip every day saves thousands of lives from distracted drivers or sleepy drivers. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you're driving down the road and you're like, and you gotta like wake up, just ask my wife. It happens all the time. It's like, vroom, you know, it's like, whoa, the rumble strip has saved me multiple times. And in the same way, the book of Revelation is literally a rumble strip of vibration and noise to get our attention to wake up, because destruction is coming. But not only that, Jesus is coming. Hope is coming. And so hang on. And this book is not to put fear and doubt in your mind. We've said from the very beginning, right, of this whole series, it's not to bring fear or doubt. It's supposed to rev up our faith when we hear the things and see the things. Not fear, not doubt, not get scared, but no, to rev up our faith and to rev up our trust in Jesus and to leave our fear and doubt in the dust. And as we close out this book today, in chapters 21 and 22, we are going to end with something new. with something so incredible beyond our imagination. It's going to be hard to put words to, but we're going to talk about something that is new, that's something that will last forever, something that will never decay, something that will never be boring, never be outdated, and we all have the ability to have access to it. But before we jump into this new thing, I want to pray for you and pray for me. Father, thank you for all that you have done over the past 5 years as a church. Thank you for the privilege it has been to get a front row seat of what you have been doing. And Father, I ask right now, as those who are listening online in their living rooms, in their cars, wherever they're watching right now, that you will help them take exactly what you need for them to take. And that, again, we wouldn't just be hearers, but we would apply it and let it sink in today. Help us not to miss. We're giving our attention to this. Help us not to miss what you would have for us. Control my mind and my speech as I communicate. I pray this in the power of your son's amazing name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, I want you to open up the scriptures or turn on your device to the book of Revelation. As I've always said in this series, really easy to find, last book, but really easy to skip. But we're not skipping it. We've gone all the way through it because it's a treasure, and it's important for us to allow these truths to sink in and to hit our lives. Now, before we go into Revelation chapter 21 and 22, I thought I would literally recap the entire book that we've been through. And so we're going to put our time track on that we have developed throughout this entire series. And I know what you're thinking. You're going to go through the entire book. Don't worry. I'm going to do it quick. So hang on. I'm going to need you to put your brain cap on. And it's going to be a lot of information all at once in the next 7 minutes here. But just hang with me. And if there's any part that you're like, I don't really know what's going on here, then it's a good cue for you to go back through these messages as we dive in deep to each one of these sections. And so the book of Revelation starts off in chapter 1, where we realize it's the revelation, it's revealing which was once conceived, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we talked about who holds the keys. Jesus holds the keys. And we talked about all the differences and some of the great titles of Jesus, how he is our mediator, like an insurance adjuster, that he is our purifier, like an air filter, and he's our protector, almost like a windshield. And we talked about how he, not only all of these amazing titles and who he is and how he holds the keys to death and life, but he also is coming back soon, and he's coming in the clouds. And we gave that great reminder, right, that when you're walking around outside and you see a cloud, to kind of remind ourselves, I hope you've been doing it, to step back and say, hey, would God be proud? When you see a cloud, would God be proud? Asking the question, am I looking like Jesus today? Am I telling people about Jesus today? And then we pulled into the garage, right? We pulled into the garage and opened up the hood of our hearts as individuals and collectively as a church, and took the diagnostic test of the 7 different churches. And it was literally checking our engine, checking our heart, checking the gauges of where we're at in our lives that helped us move more towards God. And then we opened up and we got an inside look of some of the features of God sitting on his throne and what the throne of God is going to look like. It's incredible. It even got to the details, which excited me, about his wheels and his rims and what they looked like. It was so, so incredible. And as we look through the different features of God, it was so incredible to see that he was not only the lion-like lamb, but he was the lamb-like lion. And that because he's sitting on the throne, we can always be reminded that with God, it's not a problem because he's got a plan. That's right, not a problem, right? Because he has got a plan. But then we said, put your seatbelt on, listen up, and buckle up, because all hell was literally about to break loose. All hell is going to literally break loose. And we started out the 7-year tribulation period. It was literally the ultimate break check, right? The ultimate break check for us to get our attention of not just a possible, you know, wreck that was going to happen. No, this was an inescapable wrath that will come. And we talked about the 7-year, literal 7-year tribulation that will take place. And we opened up and we saw the opening of the 7 seals that turned into the 7 bulls, that turned into the 7 trumpets of all of this utter destruction of the world with locusts, and the sea will be red, and the earthquakes, and the death, and the violence, and the war, and literally the entire earth is going to shake. This world is going to literally be like like a junkyard. This little world is totally going to be like a complete junkyard through the 7-year tribulation. And through the 7-year tribulation, we talked about the two witnesses that came that were killed, and the whole world saw it. And then they rose from the dead, giving people another warning, another rumble strip of go to Jesus, repent and go to Jesus. And people would ignore it. And this witness was, again, a reminder of what do our lives look like? What kind of witness do we have? What kind of bumper sticker are we driving around in our city? And then we talked about, is our life identified as by the living Christ or by the Antichrist? And we heard how the Antichrist will come and take over this globe along with the false prophet, the unholy trinity of Satan, the Antichrist and the false prophet. And it will take over the entire globe, not violently, but peacefully in the beginning, and then dupe and trick everyone, and then all violence and all hell will literally break all over this world. And right before the second coming, literally this earth will literally be a junkyard. And the only one who has the power to save us from the junkyard is Jesus, who is like a tow truck driver. Jesus, who is like the great mechanic willing to work on us to completion. Now, the second coming of Jesus, depending on your views of end time theology, if you have a premillennial view of your end time thinking, there's another event that needs to take place. Because it says that Jesus is going to come back with the church. And so therefore, there needed to be an event before that. And that event is the rapture, because the rapture in 1 Thessalonians talks about how the church will be taken up with Jesus. And so there needs to be some type of an event that happens called the rapture that is before the second coming. But even in the midst of all of this, premillennial thinking, you can think pre-trib, that the rapture will happen here or in the middle of the tribulation or right at the end of the tribulation. But remember what we said, don't get caught up on the timing of the rapture. Instead, be more concerned about getting caught up in the rapture when it happens. And so then the second coming happens. Jesus comes at the second coming. And what does he do? He literally, there's a war that literally takes over and takes the Antichrist and the false prophet down once and for all. And Jesus then reigns for the millennial reign, 1,000-year reign over the earth. And then during this 1,000-year millennial reign, it says that the enemy is bound in the bottomless pit. Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, but then he is let loose. God lets him loose to go all over the earth. And people would say, well, why in the world would God let him loose? Like, why would he do that? And he allowed him to be loosened because many believe that during the time of the millennial, the 1,000-year reign, there will be kids that are born. And those kids need to be tested if they are truly believers or not, people that live through the millennial reign. And then at the very end of this, all believers, all people will be brought to the great white throne judgment, lay their works before the Lord. And at this moment, it's the final moment. It's the final moment of all of mankind, of all of this stuff, of everything that has happened, of all of the curse, all the problems come up to this point of the great white throne judgment. And then Satan and those who have rejected Jesus once and for all will be thrown for eternity into the lake of fire. They will literally be quarantined in to the lake of fire for all of eternity. You see, all of us are going to die. We all know this. All of us are going to die, but sometimes we don't think that all of us are going to live for eternity. We all will live for eternity, and we have a choice. We will either live in an eternity of pain, or we will be living in an eternity of prosperity. We will all either be living in eternity filled with torture, or we will be all living in an eternity filled with treasure. And we have a choice. And I know for some of you, right, when you hear this, you're thinking, I don't like that. I don't either. I don't like hearing that. That doesn't sound loving. That doesn't sound grace-filled. That just doesn't sound like something I even want to be a part of. I understand that feeling. I feel the same way. But we have to remember this truth, this very important truth, that all throughout history, God has been like a rumble strip, trying to get our attention, to wake us up, chance after chance after chance after chance to come to him. An invitation for us to be rescued from such wrath, to be rescued from such torment and destruction. And he wants us all to be a part, to have this new life, to have this. And Jesus is the only one. You see, God loves you and he loves me so much that he sent his one and only son on this earth for us, for you and for me. And we have to be willing to allow God to forgive us and to cleanse us. Literally, we have to be willing to go through the ultimate car wash. That to allow Jesus to literally wash you. And you'll never have to get a car wash again if you get washed by Jesus. You will come out spotless and clean without a blemish, never to be needed to be washed again. You see, God loves you and he wants you in heaven, but he can't have an ounce, he can't have a speck of dirt because his holiness will literally just consume it anyways. And so we have this ability when we give our lives to Jesus, when we allow him to wash away our sin once and for all, it's unbelievable. And we not only get to begin our life here, fully here on this earth, but then we'll have eternity and we'll be given new, glorified, perfect bodies. It's going to be incredible. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate car problems. Anyone hate car problems? You hate car problems? I hate car problems. I mean, imagine a car where there is no more problems. Imagine a car with, you know, no more broken windshields, no more running out of gas, no more tinkers, no more sounds that are causing problems, no more flats, no more getting stranded on the side of the road. Imagine a car where there was just never any problems. Well, in the same way, on a whole other level of scale, we get to see and be a part. We have the opportunity to be a part of a world that has no more problems, that will never decay, that will never get old, that will never be boring. We have the ability to be a part of such a world. And the book of Revelation chapter 21 and 22 literally gives us the no mores, if you will, of what we get to experience in heaven. Let's go on. Chapter 21 in Revelation, it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Oftentimes we know that when we think of the sea is given the description of being restless or chaotic or unsettling. Imagine, if you will, with me, a world where there is no more chaos, just more peace. Imagine a world, your world right now. I mean, think of the chaos that's in your life right now, the chaos in your home, the chaos with your kids or your marriage, the chaos with your job, the chaos, any relational chaos that's going on that literally is making you anxious even as you're sitting here right now. Imagine a world where there's no more chaos. Just more peace. Can you imagine? That's what we get to look forward to in this new heaven and this new earth. It continues and it says this, and then I saw the holy city. John gets like an inside look of this holy city, and there's a lot of detail within this. It says he gets to see the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so you might be thinking, well, wait a second, there's a new heaven, there's a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. I thought when we die, we just go to heaven, or people that have already died or people that I love have died, they just go to heaven. What's the difference? Or are we going to go to the place where they're at right now? And a lot of scholars believe no. Sometimes, right, it's really easy to confuse and just think as heaven as the New Jerusalem or the New Jerusalem as heaven. But when Jesus said, before he ascended into heaven, he says, my Father has many rooms in his house, and I go to prepare a room for you. Many scholars believe that that is the New Jerusalem. And those that have already passed away are in the New Jerusalem, because right now, the heaven that's now and the earth that's now is going to pass away. And so we're not going to go to that heaven. We're actually going to be a part of the New Jerusalem. So that'll be the same. But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And this New Jerusalem, it gives so much description. It's unbelievable. It gives it to the specifics of the size will be like a cube of 1,400 miles. And so if you look at that in terms of the United States of America, this is how massive of a cube of a city that the New Jerusalem will be. And when you think about its height, it'll literally be shooting out of the atmosphere of the earth. And so the New Jerusalem will literally be the capital city between the new earth and the new heaven. And we, in our glorified, perfect bodies, are going to be able to have access to go to the new heaven, to go to the new Jerusalem, to go to the new earth. We're going to be able to explore and explore and explore in unending ways. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And so it continues. It says this. It says it gives more detail, right, of this new Jerusalem. So here's some more detail. It says, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and its gates will never be shut by day. And so he gives this description of the city. He can't even get the words on the paper, right? Because he's trying to figure out, like, what is this? What is he seeing? But streets of gold, he talks about. He talks about the walls being literally like crystals, like a flawless diamond city. It's going to be remarkable. But one of the things that I love that as I was reading this that popped out to me is that there'll be no more shut doors. The gate's going to be open. We're free to go. It's going to be a bridge from the new earth to the new heaven to the new Jerusalem. There'll be no more shut doors. There's just going to be more opportunity. I mean, think about that in our own lives. No more shut doors. For some of you right now, some of your dreams have been completely shattered. They've been literally shattered, or maybe you feel stuck, or because of that you have all these insecurities, you don't feel like you measure up. Imagine a world where those feelings, those emotions are gone, because there's not going to be any shut doors. There's just going to be more and more opportunity beyond anything that you can imagine. This is what we get to look forward to. It continues. It says, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The Son of God, Jesus, will literally be the light that illuminates the entire city. And so, literally, there's no more darkness, just more light. Imagine a world with no more darkness, just more light. No more evil. No more having to feel the effects of evil, just more light, just more righteousness, just more of the goodness of God. And then going off of this idea, it continues, it says this, it says, and nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life will be able to enter it. And so just imagine a world where there'll be no more lies, just more truth. Imagine a world of no more lies, no more fighting the temptation of the great deceiver, trying to get you to go this way or that way, which can be so exhausting. It'll literally just be truth. I mean, come on, imagine a world where there'll be no more lies, just more truth. No more being duped by the great deceiver. Here's another one. It says this, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. No more brick and mortar temple. Imagine a world where there'll be no more temple, just more presence. No more temple, just more of his presence. And so the feelings of feeling right now maybe disconnected or feeling far from God or feeling clueless or out of the know or feeling lonely like some of you feel right now as you're watching. No more. Imagine a world of no more temple, just being overwhelmed by his presence. It'll be so thick. It'll be so amazing. And then it says this, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Can you imagine a world with no more mourning, just more rejoicing? I mean, come on, imagine a world, no more mourning. No more pain of the sickness that some of you are dealing with right now or are watching others go through right now. I mean, some of you, when you think about people who you've lost and the grief that you're still facing, you don't have any more tears to cry, but the depression that is inside of you right now is killing you inside. No more of that. Imagine a world. No more mourning. Just more rejoicing. Last one. There's many more, but I picked seven. It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Come and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Imagine a world where there's no more thirst, just more bliss. Imagine that. Imagine a world with no more thirst, no more hunger, no more appetite, just more bliss. I mean, we know, right? I mean, it's never enough here. It's never enough money. It's never enough pleasure. It's never enough reputation. It's never enough. More, more, more. Imagine a world where that game is over. No more thirst, just more bliss. And then in that scripture, it said that we can have access to that water without a price. And that water isn't like the water that we think of. This was an eternal water that was a river that was crystal. This was a different kind of river. This was a different kind of water to quench a thirst. And I imagine in this moment when John was writing this on the Patmos Island, that he had a flashback in his mind when he recorded Jesus with the woman at the well, where he wrote this: everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, the water that we all know today. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. That's what he meant. That's what he was talking about. And we have the ability to drink of that water. We have the access and the invitation to drink of that water. Listen, my friends, the book of Revelation is not meant to scare you. It is not meant to frighten us. It is meant to invite us. And we will either have access to the eternal river of life, or we will have access to the eternal lake of fire. Don't you want the eternal lake of life? We are invited to that. He wants you to be a part of that. Imagine that world. Don't you want to be a part of that new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem? You can be a part of it. I mean, come on, imagine this. I mean, come on, let's recap. I mean, imagine no more chaos, just more peace. No more shut doors, just more opportunity. No more darkness, just more light. No more lies, just more truth. No more temple, just more and more of his presence. No more mourning, just more rejoicing. No more thirst, just more bliss. Don't you want that? Are you thirsty for that? If you are, then the question is, if you want that, if you want access to this, are you thirsty for Jesus? Are you thirsty for his forgiveness? Are you thirsty to go through the ultimate car wash and let Jesus, the only one who has the power to literally wash away your sin once and for all, so you can have access to that? Jesus is calling out to you like a rumble strip. Wake up. Wake up. I want you there. I want you to be a part of that. Let my son Jesus cover you. Drink of the living water of life. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't allowed Jesus to do that, right now is the time. No more wasting time. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Now is the time to let Jesus wash you clean. And so right now, wherever you're watching, I want to invite you to just bow your head. Close your eyes. Maybe you're alone. I don't know where you're at. Maybe with your family or on your couch, wherever you're watching. Maybe even get on your knees. And I want you to just have a real conversation with God and just say, God, wash me clean. Tell him that. Between you and him. Say, I believe you're the only one that can take my sin away. Say that. Wash my sin away. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again for me. Right now, I make you, Jesus, the King of my life. I make you the King of my life. Now, if you truly meant that, if you were real, your faith was revved up today to put your trust in him, then you have nothing to fear. Put it in the back, put it in the dust. And now your life truly starts now. And look what you get to look forward to. It's coming. We don't know when, like a thief in the night, but he's coming. And you get to be a part of it. You get to be a part of it. Until then, I want to encourage you, don't walk alone. That would be stupid. Don't walk alone. At Miles City, our vision, right, is helping people move towards God, and maybe you made a move today. Or maybe you're right on the edge of making a move and you still have questions. Come on, let's get those questions answered. We want to celebrate with you from the move that you made. And so wherever you're at watching, I just want to encourage you to just text the word or put it in the chat here. Just text the word faith move to the number on the screen. And one of our staff members, one of our team, just wants to have a real conversation with you.